I'll be reading Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.
Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah, or leave them open there, probably. That's not where I'm going to start, but that's where we will start when we get there. Before we get started, I just again want to thank Pastor for letting me come and not only share Campfire Connections, but to be able to share with you in Sunday school and also now. That's never something that any pastor who's serious about what he's doing, it's never a little thing to just hand over the pulpit to somebody, and I really, really appreciate it deeply. We're going to be looking this morning at the passage in Jeremiah, but I just want to share with you, first of all, what the message is, and then we'll go and look in the scriptures. The message simply is this. My desire is that through our time together this morning, that we will all realize that if we belong to God, if we are His people, then He has the right to call us to any service or situation that He desires to do. And my desire is that we would either come to recognize that this morning in a viable and real way, or if we already are aware of that and are serious about it, that we would be willing to allow God to call us to any ministry that He desires us to be called to. And I know for some this morning you're saying, you know, well, I'm still in school, I'm still this, I'm that, and maybe God isn't ready to put that call out to you particularly yet that will be your life's doing. But if that's the case, I would encourage you to be consistently and constantly allowing God to do as He pleases in your life now. And then when that time comes, you'll find you'd be a whole lot more agreeable to what God has for your life. In Matthew chapter 28, there's what we term the Great Commission, and that is the spot where Christ sends forth the disciples with a particular mission in mind to reach the world with the truth of the gospel and to teach people what it means to live for the Lord and to know the Lord. That, in a very real sense, is all of our calling. But within that calling, there are many other individual callings that God has for us. And we're going to look at one example, Jeremiah. But sort of the foundation to be able to respond in a positive manner to what God calls us to do, the basis for that, I believe, is found in 1 Corinthians that I want to read to you this morning. And if we get this truth and we can really embrace it and apply it in our lives, we'll find that the calling of God, whatever it may be, is not the central issue and it's not a problem to us, but it will be something that we will embrace because of this truth in our life. And this truth is found, as I said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? and you're not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, this the principle found here is that God has ransomed us, has purchased us, and because of that we belong to Him. And we are to glorify Him in whatever manner He deems fit. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, chances are those verses that I just read to you and the next couple of statements that I make will seem either foolish or even perhaps offensive, or maybe both. And that is, in verse 20, it says that ye are bought with a price. To the heart that's not geared toward God, it doesn't know God, the idea of being purchased by anyone else, it can be very offensive. There are people who are still offended by something that ended 150 years ago. And the idea of purchasing somebody else is offensive. But you know, the truth of the matter is, for the believer, being purchased of God, being bought with the great price of Christ's blood is of huge value to us, because we realize that we have been purchased from the slavery of sin. We have been bought from the condemnation and the dominion of sin. And so that purchase is not something that is offensive. It's something that we embrace wholeheartedly, because we understand that God has bought us from something that was not only controlling our lives, but something that would ultimately condemn us to a very real hell. And so being purchased, being bought by the precious blood of Christ is very valuable. And with that in mind, we turn to Jeremiah, and we see some of the sort of outcome of that purchase price. When Christ bought us, He paid for us with His precious blood. And we belong to Him. We no longer belong to sin and its condemnation. We no longer belong to the wicked one. We belong to Him. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, as Chad read a little while ago, we see God issuing a very particular call to Jeremiah. And we're going to look this morning in relation to that call, and we'll see what God was doing in the midst of that call, how He prepared Jeremiah, and how He had a message that He wanted Jeremiah to deliver, how He promised protection and His presence with Jeremiah as he went forth, and so on. You know, when God, and many people have said this, maybe in a little different terminology, but the same idea, what God calls you to do, He'll prepare you to do it. God never just says, this is what I want you to do, now go and figure it out and do the best you can with it. God calls for a particular service to Him, and then He makes sure that we're able to do it. When I was I don't remember how old I've been in elementary grade for sure, had a cousin, big old guy, Marvin Dale Parker. And Marvin Dale was a great swimmer, and a big, tall, lanky guy. You know, he was built like a swimmer and things. And over on their farm, they built a pond down there where the ravine kind of fed in, and they dammed it up and built a pond there. And when they built it, there was a big old tree out in the middle of this pond, and they trimmed it up before they dammed it up and that. And so that pond filled up with water, and right out in the middle was this huge tree, and they built a little platform on there. It was kind of a fun deal, but I didn't know how to swim, so Marvin Dale put me on his back and swam me out to this tree out there and dock in the middle of this pond, and that was fun, and that was good, and then he left. And, I mean, there I was, and he swam back to the shore, and basically what he said was, there you are, now you figure it out. And so I jumped in and probably nearly drowned, but got to the shore somehow, figured out somehow or another. But you know, God doesn't do us that way. He doesn't say, okay, this is what I want you to do. Now just throw you out there and go get it figured out. You know, do the best you can with it. He prepares us and he prepares the situation and he provides all that we need to be able to do what he would have us to do. So beginning in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, we don't want to go any farther without taking a moment to sort of try to understand the implication of that first verse. Over around, I think it's a little over 50 times in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord is mentioned. And almost 20 times, it's basically exactly this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying. And the point simply is this, that God not only was involved in calling Jeremiah and assuring him with the truth that this is, Jeremiah, what I am desiring you to do. This is what I am calling you to do. This is what I have to say to you. But over and over during the course of Jeremiah's ministry, over the course of Jeremiah's life, he came back again and again and said, the word of the Lord, this is what God has to say to you, Jeremiah. And you and I actually have a little better situation than Jeremiah had, because there wasn't a lot of the word written at the time of Jeremiah. Of course, they had some of it, but you and I have the completed word of God. And we can go daily and should go daily to the word of God to see God's word revealed unto us. And it's in those times that God can very, very boldly and very clearly reveal to each one of us what his specific design in our life is. With Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came unto him. And notice what he says to him. I have this sort of outlined in the margin of my Bible as God's preparation, first of all for the individual Jeremiah and then also for the message that he has for him. But if you'll notice what God does, what he says to Jeremiah as far as preparing Jeremiah. He says in verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This is a very specific thing that he's saying to Jeremiah. He's saying, even before you took your first breath, I had a plan for you. I had something for you. And then he goes on to say, the specific thing that I had for you is that I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. That would have been to Judah as well as the nations around there. And so Jeremiah's specific call was to be a prophet to the nations. Now that's not going to be the call of everyone. As a matter of fact, that's not going to be the call that we would expect to find for us today at all, because things are a little different today. But the point is simply this, that God not only had something for Jeremiah to do, but he began in the womb and before, he began to prepare Jeremiah for what he had for him. And I would suggest to each one of us today that we are all unique here. None of us are alike. We don't look alike. We don't act alike. We don't think alike. We are all individual people. But the beauty of that is simply this, that in God's wisdom, he made us different so that he could and would use us in a different way. And each one of us have the ability to be used of God in a very specific way if we're willing to let God do his work and have his will in our lives, and understand that God has done much preparation in your life up to this point. Even though you may not know what God expects of you from this point on, God has been doing a work in your life to prepare you for that all the way through life. I'm sure before, and we don't know how old Jeremiah was at this point, but I'm sure Jeremiah had no idea what God had for him before this time. It wasn't like, you know, God had written him letters and then sent somebody else to tell him and so on and so forth. This is Jeremiah's first understanding of what he was going to be doing with his life. And yet God said, I was preparing you all the way along for this, even though you had no idea what it would be. And I would suggest to us that that's exactly how God works in our lives. He does things and he works in our lives to prepare us, even though we may not know exactly what it is. This last week I was standing up, just a couple of days ago, actually, I was standing up above the airport looking down. I was looking for a white-tailed deer. I thought it might be fun to try to find one of those, see if Stephen could shoot him a white-tailed buck. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't see any. But there was a guy up there who was looking for a moose, and we got to talking and so on and so forth. And long story short, he asked me about, you know, what I did and so on. And so I was just sharing a little bit with him. And so I told him, you know, I was a pastor here in town. He was from Washington for a number of years. You know, then I said, you know, my ministry was not really very typical. Wasn't a go to the office and sit there and so on and, you know, have people come and so on. It was much more outside and so on. And afterwards, I got to thinking, you know, if God had put me in an inner city ministry, I think I would have just shriveled up and died apart from the overriding grace of God, because I can't sit inside very much. I can't do that. And the point that I'm making is this. We're all different, but we're different because of the purpose of God for our lives. And if we'll embrace that and allow God to do what he would have in our lives and be willing to let God have access to call us to what he would have us to do, we'll find that God had been preparing us for that our whole lives. And we can look back and see some of that. And I'm sure Jeremiah had many things that he could look back on and see. So he was in this preparation process. Verses 6 and 7, we have this message prepared. Verse 6 is interesting. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Again, we don't know how old Jeremiah was. He was old enough to understand that what God was calling him to do was outside of what was he was able to do. But notice what God does here. Immediately what God does is he just almost dismisses this. He just says, don't say that. And then he says, why? Don't say that you can't speak because you're a child. Notice verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and, here it is, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Jeremiah didn't have to come up with the message. Jeremiah didn't have to come up with, an outline and all of these things. God said to Jeremiah in his specific instance, remember he's the prophet to the nations, in Jeremiah, he said, don't say you can't talk, because whatever I give you, that's what you're to speak. You know, there really is an element of that for you and me as well. We don't have to come up with things to say. What we do have to do is be able to have the Word of God available to us, either in our thinking, in our hearts, and in our hands, so that we can share the message that God has for people around us. You know, we don't have a message that's worthwhile for anyone. I don't have a message that's worthwhile for anyone, but God does. And as we give God's message to those around us, then God can use it in their lives to bring them to himself and to influence their lives for him. So, you know, we really are without excuse. If we say, God says, I have this for you, when we say, well, you know, I can't do that, the answer is, I've been preparing you all your life, whether you knew it or not. I've been preparing you for this, and I will give you what needs to be done, whether it's in words or actions or whatever it may be. We really have no excuse not to follow what God would have us to do. And not only that, that's where the blessings are. We get things mixed up so many times. Sometimes we think, if I can just do everything and anything I want to do, man, life is going to be good and happy. You know, nothing really could be further from the truth, because we mess things up. We make a wreck of things. We as in me, left to my own purposes, I make a wreck of things every single time. But as we embrace what God has for us, then God can do in our lives not only profitable things, but enjoyable and blessed things as well. So he prepared Jeremiah, he prepared what Jeremiah was needing to do. And then in verse 8, he does something very important. He says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee." And we'll see a little bit more about this in just a moment. But the basic idea is this, is Jeremiah, you can go forth with confidence doing what I have called you to do because I'll take care of you. You can go forth in confidence doing what I have for you to do because I will take care of you. In this instance, the problem was opposition to what Jeremiah had to say. If you look through the book, Jeremiah had some pretty hard things that he had to say, and people were not very receptive to it. Which brings me to a little parenthesis here, and that is this. Don't get the idea that just because you are following God's call on your life, that everybody will be thrilled with what you have to say and what you're doing in your life. God, people will not always be thrilled. God will be thrilled. Those who know him and love him will be thrilled. But not everybody will be thrilled with what God leads you to do. And so God, for Jeremiah, says, I will protect you. For you, it may be something a little bit different, but the point is that God will take care of you as you follow his direction and his guidance and his leadership in your life. God will meet the needs that you have. And so in this, it was the idea of protection and that. Then I want us to get to verses 9 and 10. And here we have God's specific commission, God's specific job for Jeremiah. And in God's specific job for Jeremiah, he lays it out very, very clearly for him here. And it's important for Jeremiah to have not only the assurance of God's calling him to this and the understanding that God will provide the message and protect him in all that he does and so forth, but to have this very clear and specific message that God has for the people. Jeremiah, you remember, is the man who really, and there's others, but he's the man who's really saying to Judah, you've rebelled against God and you've rebelled against God, and the Babylonians are coming. And that's a hard message because the Babylonians were the conquering peoples and they were coming to conquer Judah. And nobody wants that. And so God gives Jeremiah this very clear message. And he says in verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Some significance on that. You remember Ezekiel? And his God's calling to him. God put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. That reassurance of what he would have for him to say. And then verse 10, notice what he says here. Most of this is not something that will be very well received, because notice what he says. I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. Now, how many people would like that message coming to your front door? You know, knock, knock, knock. Hello, what are you doing? Well, I'm here to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. I'm here to wreck your home. I'm here to destroy all that is valuable to you. I'm here to wreck things. That's not a message that most of us would say, wow, yeah, come on in. I've been hoping that would be happening. That's not one that's going to be very well received oftentimes. But you know, here's something I think is important, is oftentimes things have to be broken before they can be fixed. A lot of times things have to be destroyed before they can be repaired, before they can be renewed and taken care of. And it was true with Judah. they had to be brought down. They had to go into captivity before God could really get through to them. They had become that cold and hard. But you know, I think oftentimes it's true in our own lives. Sometimes God has to hurt us badly before he can lift us up and use us greatly. Sometimes he has to wreck what we have built up. Sometimes he has to correct and destroy the things that we have caused before he can then turn around and use us in a manner that he intended to all along. And so he brought this message, you know, I'm gonna do all of these things, but then he finishes it up with to build and to plant. I'm going to tear it all down, but I'm going to build it. And when God builds it back up, you know, when he builds a life, he does a good job. And it's only as we oppose him in the building of a life does it have hurt and harm and so on. And therefore, it's foolish to fight against God in what God wants to do in our lives. That's such a concept that how do we miss that? And yet we do over and over and over again, because we cannot seem to conceive of the idea that if left to myself, I'll hurt myself. But it's so true, over and over and over again. But when I give myself over to God, then God can build it and make it all that it needs to be. So a couple of things happen here. I'm finishing within 3 minutes. A couple of things happening here in verses 11 through 16, where God uses some illustrations to encourage Jeremiah. And then verse 17, he says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee." God lays all of this out before Jeremiah. God gives him all of these assurances. God says, "This is what I'm going to do. I will be there. Trust me." And then he says, "Now do it." And that girding up thy loins, you know, that's the idea. They had the long flowing things, so they'd gather them up whenever they went to work or whether they went to war, whatever they were doing, they got them out of their way. And so the idea here is get ready to work, go out, rise up, and do it. Go and talk to them. You know, there comes a point when all of the preparation work has to begin to be utilized, acted upon. There comes a time when we have to actually go and do what God would have us to do. And this is what he's saying to Jeremiah, do it. And then he again sets him in there and says, "I'll make thee a defense city." And he talks about iron pillars and a brazen walls and so on. I mean, this is an indefensible. This is a defensed city that basically cannot be overrun. And he said, "That's what I'm going to do in you. They will not be able to overrun you." And then verse 19, he says, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." I wrote something in the margin of my Bible here, and if it's worth anything to you, fine. If it's not, throw it away. I just put, "Be careful not to allow success to be the goal of ministry." That is God's calling in my life. Faithfulness and obedience is the goal. Faithfulness and obedience, that's the goal of the ministry that God gives you. It may, you know, it'll vary between all of us, but success, as we determine it, whatever that may be, numbers, finances, I mean, whatever, that's not the goal. The goal is faithfulness and obedience. So I close with this. You know, if you're here and you know what God has for you, understand that God's been preparing you for it your whole life, even before you knew what he had for you. And, you know, I understand that God will be with you all the way through it. That's one thing he won't do, is just leave you high and dry and forsake you. He'll be there, and he'll enable, and he'll provide, and he'll do all that he needs to do if we'll just be agreeable and obedient and faithful to him. If you're here and you don't know what God would have for you to do, be obedient and faithful in whatever it is, wherever you're at right now, whatever you're doing, whether it's school, whether it's, working, whatever it may be, and then become a habitual agreeer with God. That's a terrible phrasing, but, and then when the time comes when God says, this is what I have for you, it'll be the most natural thing in the world for you to say, okay, well, that's good. I'll go there. And if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, belonging to him is the sweetest thing of all. It truly is. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. How wonderful you are to us. Thank you, God, that you do care about every individual life. And Lord, you work in our hearts and lives to prepare us for what you have for us. Lord, I pray that we would learn the wisdom of agreeability with you, Lord, and that we would desire you to call and to direct and to do. Lord, I pray that if there be any here today who are fighting against what you would have for them, I pray, God, that you would cause them to see the folly of that. Help them to see and to understand how wonderful it is to let you have your way in our lives. I pray that you would just bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.
1 Peter 5, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.